Here's a question not just for Europe or the U.S., but for the world. Who's in charge now? Is the U.S. still the most important economy in the world, the financial superpower? Day to Day is going to be looking for answers all this week in oil capitals and emerging economies and among the Asian giants. But we'll stay in Europe for the moment. Chris Giles is economics editor for the Financial Times. Chris, welcome to Day to Day. Is the U.S. still the financial superpower?
Absolutely it is. It is still the largest economy in the world, although it's not an unrivaled position anymore, because if you club together the European countries, the European economy is at least as large as the US. So together, Europe is as big as the US, and the Asian economies altogether would be a very large regional block too. So we've really got, in the world economy, we've actually got three really large regional blocks, and two of which are in all sorts of problems. Europe and the U.S.
Now, do you measure this, just to be clear, are we measuring this by gross national product of the European states taken as a whole and the U.S.?
Yes, that's the obvious way to measure it. So it's essentially the total value of the goods and services produced by the European states and by the U.S. And Europe, on most measures, would be slightly larger than the U.S. these days.
What is the role for a financial superpower in the world economy today? What is that supposed to do?
In a time like this, it's really a leadership role. It's trying to understand what the problem is, do all the things that governments and authorities can do to sort out this sort of mess. And actually, in some ways, the biggest thing that didn't happen was there wasn't a great leadership role in not getting into this mess in the first place. We, as in Europe and the US, are supposed to have the best financial regulatory regimes in the world, and we send consultants all around the rest of the world telling other countries how to do it and how dangerous it is not to have good financial regulations. And yet it's exactly in the core parts of the global economy, in the financial superpowers, where regulation has proved, along with banks themselves, have proved to have failed quite seriously and created what is now a very, very nasty global financial crisis.
So I wonder what comes first, panic or uncertainty or a sense of anger that leadership has failed me here?
Well, I think both come probably simultaneously. We know that very much in the US, but the sentiment is felt around Europe clearly just as strongly among the public of, why is it that we've allowed ourselves to get into this mess? If the real economies now follow the financial markets down, then that anger is only going to be intensified, because no one likes to feel that they've lost their job because some bankers have taken some very serious risks, and then that's had a knock-on effect onto the real economy. But also, at the moment, there is a decided sense of panic and loss of confidence in the financial system itself, which is actually exacerbating the situation. The scariest thing that's going on at the moment is essentially there's a run on the whole of the Western world's banking systems. It's a behind-the-scenes run, but it's a run nonetheless, and this is why you're seeing some extraordinary action by central banks, essentially because they are now the only people around who are willing to fund or finance back the banking sector.
If there's a loss of faith in leadership in the U.S. and Europe, where do you look for world financial leadership now?
Well, I think the interesting thing is the normal place you would look would be to the finance ministers and the central bank governors of the world and see whether they can come up with some sort of plan or some sort of coordinated action. Everyone is gathering together later this week in Washington on Friday and at the weekend. And so this is a real test. I don't think they necessarily want it to be a test, but I'm sure it will be seen as a test to see whether the authorities can do more than look at how to stop this happening again in the long term, which is one of the things actually they were intending the meeting to be about, but actually to try and stop the panic. If that doesn't happen, well, then it gets very, very serious. And if we don't get a statement at the weekend or something like that, we will find the world's authorities beginning to take more and more radical action. Ultimately, if they don't, then these sort of comparisons with the 1930s suddenly become a little more than just fanciful.
From London, Chris Giles, economics editor for the Financial Times. Chris, thank you.
It's a pleasure.